from Tondlandia presents Darkling Drake, written and read by Ton Krakowski.
Episode 2, The Job. Drake! Jesus, woman! You know I hate it when you sneak up on me like that. I'm an old man. I could have had a heart attack or something. Have a heart, will ya? I couldn't help but grin at the enormous man before me. I've seen all 7 feet and 300+ pounds of him leap up and teeter precariously on top of a bar stool, screeching like a 3-year-old girl when confronted with the awesome fearsomeness of a chihuahua. Old man my ass, Charlie. You're just a pup, I retorted playfully. Seeing Charlie always put me in a good mood, I imagined it was a lot like the effect pets have on their owners, only slightly less furry. Besides, I wasn't sneaking. I get paid to do that, remember? What you got for me? I didn't like to come into the Sky High Club unless it was to see Charlie or to pick up some local gossip from the dregs of the social gutter for a gig. The place was a dive, its atmosphere clogged with smoke and despair. The dimmed lights only served to underscore the hopelessness that saturated even the tawdry decor. If there was a place manic depressives would congregate for a final toast before taking a dirt nap, this would be it. But as much as it depressed me to set foot in this dump, I didn't have a choice. Charlie had a job for me. Come over here, Tony. This one may be a little tricky, even for you, but I think you'll like the payoff. Charlie led me through the cramped front room, which was dominated by a filthy bar and devoid of all but a few alcoholic virtuosos, into his private office in the back. Wrinkling my nose at the dingy green carpet worn with age, grime, and God knows what else, I was glad I wore my black leather mid-heel boots instead of my usual flip-flops. There was no way I was going to sit anywhere in this room. I liked Charlie a lot. He's like the father I never had. But his office was disgusting. Maybe he'd let me hire a cleaning service for him if this job panned out. Shit, maybe I'd have them over at my own place for good measure. Charlie cleared his throat. I know you can't stay long, so I'll get right to the skinny. This guy I ain't never seen before contacts me with the job, says he wants you to do it, says he's heard you're the best and he can't afford any fuck-ups. He's willing to pay $1 million. Alarm bells started a low reverberation in my head. The more information Charlie gave me, the more I didn't like it. Sure, I had a reputation, but not many knew of my connection to Charlie. And who the hell has $1 million to throw at a thief? Even more disquieting, if this guy was willing to pay that much, what the hell was I supposed to lift? This smelled like a pack of skunks farting sulfur. I grimaced and said, I don't like it, Charlie. Tell him to bite me. Doll, I figured you'd say that, and I told him so, the big man went on calmly. But then he told me that in addition to the standard cash and jewels you'd find in the safe, there'd also be some documents. Some of them are about you, where you come from, your family, and what happened to them. He studied me with a touch of pity in his eyes. That was the payoff I was talking about. I know you don't give a shit about the money. I sat down without even thinking about whatever infested the upholstery of the decrepit forest green chair. My family? I mumbled dully. Charlie, you serious? A wildfire suddenly swept away my dazed expression. I snarled, because if it's bullshit, I'll cut his lying tongue out and shove it down his fucking throat. I know, doll, Charlie said soothingly. He was the only one who knew that I'd been on my own for as long as I could remember. Charlie had caught me with my hand in the Sky High Club's till when I was just a bedraggled, wild little girl. After his anger had flared, it had just as quickly died, and he took me under his wing. Charlie taught me all I know about surviving on the streets. There was no way this prospective client could know anything about my history, unless Charlie ratted me out. I was being watched by someone even better at not being seen than myself, or these documents actually existed. Leaning forward, I rubbed my face with my hands and sighed. Glancing up at Charlie, I noted the concern in his deep brown eyes, and my lips twitched into a rueful half-smile. "It's tricky?" I asked hopefully. "Yep," he replied, as he leaned back on his desk and crossed his arms. The wood bowed slightly beneath his girth. "Look, I know you like a challenge, Tony, but don't do this if you're not absolutely sure you can handle it. If the papers really do exist, and that's a big if, then maybe there's another way for us to find them without putting your ass on the line." "Thanks, Charlie, but you know I've tried just about everything humanly possible to figure out where I came from." I shook my head sadly. "We both know this gig stinks to high heaven, but we also both know that I don't have a choice. I have to try." Running my fingers through my hair, I attempted to dampen the alarms making my heart race and said with a steely voice, "Give me the details before I come to my senses." 3 days after sauntering out of the Sky High Club with an assignment and a sizable retainer, I decided to take an unscheduled trip north to evaluate my mark. I was tired and more than slightly irritable from one sleepless night after another. Vivid dreams of flight, blood, and fire stalked my subconscious, to the point I hadn't even had the energy or the desire to prowl the bars in search of a little sexual release. I figured a ride on the new Triumph Speedmaster I picked up with my down payment would be just the thing to cheer me up. There's nothing quite like an exhilarating rush of speed coupled with the rough caress of racing wind to make a girl feel like her old self again. Well, that, and the growl of an 865cc parallel twin, 270-degree crank engine set like a jewel into a low-slung old-school cruising motorcycle. Clad in my well-worn black leather pants, boots, and my favorite red leather bomber jacket, I grabbed my helmet and almost skipped out of my apartment down to where I had parked my bike. I usually wore the helmet to assure my anonymity rather than safety, but desire for the wind in my hair made me suddenly resentful of its necessity for this trip. I jammed it over my unruly hair with a bad-tempered grunt and mounted the Triumph in a single swift move. The roar of the bike's engine resonated in the deepest recesses of my soul. It wasn't long before I released my pent-up anxiety by nimbly speeding along lonely stretches of winding asphalt in the deepening dusk. Not only would the darkness serve as an added precaution to protect me from being seen, I also had better-than-average night vision. Therefore, it was not uncommon for me to do most of my prep work at night. With a wicked smile, I pulled over to the side of the road a quarter of a mile past the address Charlie had given me. This was going to be fun. I began my reconnaissance by slinking through the murky woods and discovered a huge house set back about a quarter mile from the lonely little country road. Lots of shadows, not easily seen from the road, nearest neighbor about a half a mile away. So far, so good. The house was big and looked well taken care of, even if the surrounding vegetation was a little overgrown. I was just getting ready to verify that the little sign promoting Hephaestus Home Security Systems was a pathetic attempt to deter people like me when I noticed, well, something, like a change in barometric pressure or a wind shift. Something. Then I heard someone whisper lazily in my ear, "Your hair smells amazing." Now, this was not the first time I had heard someone whisper that exact sentence lazily in my ear. After all, it's true. I pay a lot of money for the good stuff. But in every other instance of hearing this compliment, I knew that I was not alone. I was usually, in fact, with some horny, extremely good-looking man, I do have some standards after all, who was fervently hoping, sometimes successfully and sometimes not so much, to get into my pants. I guess that's why I responded, "Not tonight, baby. I'm busy right now," without realizing I had said anything at all. I crouched down, whipped my head around toward the voice, and launched a blindingly fast jab with my right fist with the intention of eliminating this joker's ability to procreate any time soon. There must be some serious repercussions to sneaking up on me when I'm minding my own business. After all, I do have a reputation to maintain. My fist connected solidly with nothing at all, slightly throwing off my balance as I sprang into a backflip, caught the tree branch above me with the next vertical movement, and swung myself lightly on top of it for a better view. Nothing. Only the hair stubbornly protruding from the back of my neck and my elevated heart rate revealed that I continued to be not alone. I remained motionless, patiently waiting for the presence to reveal itself. It was bound to happen. The only person good enough to sneak up on me, whisper sweet nothings in my ear, and disappear again without a trace was, well, me. At least until now. He materialized next to me so god-awful fast that it took my brain a second to comprehend that the heart-stoppingly drop-dead gorgeous man casually sitting on my branch and staring at me with sapphire blue eyes was not a spectacular figment of my most nymphomaniacal dreams. I could only think, damn, they don't make 'em like that anymore, before a movement I didn't even see him make rendered me unconscious.
This has been Darkling Drake, written and read by Tawn Krakowski. Tune in to Tales from Tawnlandia every Wednesday for new episodes.